All right, guys. Good afternoon. Welcome back. As you heard in the background there, a little more audio difficulties. Some setting when the computer rebooted overnight didn't hold, and, you know, gosh, we'll fix that. Today is Wednesday, 29th day of June, 2011. Michael, you got the numbers. This computer rebooted as well.
Yeah, right now, the Dow's up 82. The comp up 10, roughly. The S&P, you know what, I don't have the S&P what that is up, but we did have some news events today, and I will go through those with you. This morning at 9 a.m. we had a Fed announcement. The Fed announcement was basically that the U.S. is going to maintain liquidity through some swaps for the European banks. Basically, it said it was a joint statement with the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank, and Swiss National Bank announcing the extension of temporary U.S. dollar liquidity swap facilities until August of 2012. Let's see, it also had, pending home sales come out this morning, much higher than anticipated. The pending home sales, I believe it was plus 2.8% was what was anticipated, and plus 8.1 is what came out, I think. Crude came out. We had a much smaller pile in the crude. Yeah, the pending home sales was plus 8.2. They were anticipating plus 2.4%, and it came out at plus 8.2. Crude inventories came out. We have a much smaller pile, down 4.4 million barrels. Right now, FOMC member Raskin is supposed to be speaking, and that's what we had for news events for today. As far as the markets go, we had on the ES and on the YM, there we go. I can hear it a little bit there. And now there's an echo. On the ES and on the YM.
I know what that is, yeah. Okay. I'll fix that. All right. Go ahead.
We didn't have any trades this morning at all. At least I didn't have any trades this morning at all. But going over what we went over in the live trading room.
Well, I had a corn trade. You had a corn trade.
Yeah, just on the ES and the YM.
Oh, on the ES and the YM, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going through a couple markets at a time.
I understand.
We didn't have anything on the ES and the YM this morning. I had a whole bunch of trades on the Russell. As a matter of fact, after the first 8 minutes, I was up 31 ticks on the Russell. 25 in one account and 6 in another. But
that was live in the trading room?
That was live in the trading room.
Before I got there?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of the partners in the trading room jumped on those trades with me and were done after the first 8 minutes. We've had a number of trades since then on the Russell. I think I went over them a little while ago. I think we had I went over them toward the end of our morning session. I think now we've had probably 8 winning trades and 1 losing trade on the Russell since then. On the corn, we had 2 trades this morning on the corn. We had a short that didn't work out. We lost 2 cents on that, and then we had another short that we got 4 cents on. So we had 1 corn trade that didn't work out, and we had another corn trade that worked out perfectly.
Okay, I've got the corn up. Show me, where was the entry? I didn't get into the one that got stopped out. Where was that one?
The first one I entered
you entered right there.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll tell you. I can.
You entered right there, and it pulled back to the BBC, and then it dropped, and I caught it on the second drop. And
yep, me too.
What I did was I moved my stop to plus 1 tick. Once we had 4 cents in the trade, I went to break even plus 1 tick. This way, if you get stopped out, I mean, it's not a lot of room to breathe, as they say, but if you do get stopped out, the trade pays for itself. Yeah, you're not even out the commission. So that's what I got. It came back to the penny and then went on to give you the 4 cent trade that we were after.
Yep.
So minus your 2 cent loss on the first trade, you netted 2 cents on the corn, which is equivalent to 2 points in the ES, $50 per penny, $50 per point, or
per contract.
$100 per contract.
Yep.
All right.
So that was the morning. That was the morning in the live trading room. You know, we were watching and monitoring the ES and the YM, looking for an opportunity, and it was surprising us. You know, it stayed right at one special area for a very long time, for 200 and something thousand contracts. It stayed in one special area, and when it broke out of that area, we didn't get an opportunity to jump into it after it broke out. So we were on the sidelines on the ES and on the YM this morning. The corn, we're still on the sidelines right now on the corn, but I do have two orders on in the corn, and I'll tell you these. Yesterday during the show, when I was talking before David came on in the show, I had told everyone where my orders were, and they did execute and go to target. Well, one of them, the long trade, executed and went to target during the show yesterday. Those of you that were paying attention to the questions log, I was telling you what I was doing with the trade while David was talking, because I didn't want to interrupt him. Now, right now on the corn, I'll tell you where my orders are. I have a sell stop at 656 half, and I have a buy stop at 672 quarter. That is where I have my orders on right now on the corn. And this is December corn, by the way. December corn. First notice for the July corn is tomorrow.
Okay, sell stop is where?
Hang on.
Right here.
Go with it. Yeah, I believe so. My sell stop is 656 half. Yep, right there. And my buy stop is all the way up at 672 quarter.
Oh, you're way up there.
It's way up there. Way up there. Yeah, I should probably move it down. But
these say WTZ guys, but that's just my default horizontal line. I put it up for just to be easy. These are not weekly trading zones here. These are just horizontal lines. So you can see the bracket there, a long above 672 quarter, a short below 656.50. And if this drops below 56.50, then I'll probably participate in that as well. As you can see here, there's a pullback to the BBC, and it dropped for a drop of about 4 cents, and then a pullback here. Same thing here. Got a little choppy in here, but that was just a nice, beautiful move to be in, and I was in part of it. If that's the worst thing that ever happens to me in trading, is that I am too aggressive with my risk management, I'll be around a long time. Getting stopped out plus one tick, is it aggravating, and whatever other emotion you might want to tie to it, and you really need to get separated from those emotions, because I'm really kind of separated from it right now.
it's only aggravating when it continues to the profit target, the original profit target.
I'm just kidding.
If you get stopped off plus a tick and it moves to your original stop, then you're glad you got that one tick.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Oh, people listening to this podcast think, man, that guy's insane. But in a good way. I'm telling you. I do good works with my insanity. Okay, the big mystery issue was called the volume button on the on the NCH WavePad sound editor. Yeah. See, I can do it again.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Told you. Here you go. Let's have a fancy opening. Let's go.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of Indeterminate Length, where we discuss all things e-mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold,
really big
bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Borth. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back. Today is Wednesday, the 29th day of June, 2011. And yes, they'll be tuning up my medications any day now. I'm just kidding. I had dinner with Sheriff Joe last night. That's why I'm so jovial. I don't care where you live. If you live in Mumbai and you're listening to this radio program, you've heard of Sheriff Joe. Now, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, people will go, where are you from? I'm from Arizona. Do you know Sheriff Joe? Yeah. So anyway, I had dinner with him last night, and he's just an ordinary human being. Kind of a curmudgeon, that's the right word. I might better Google that before I use it. he told funny stories. He's led a life of international intrigue. He's worked for the DEA. He was part of Nixon's war on drugs. He and G. Gordon Liddy were working for Nixon. He says, when Nixon said, no more drugs, we're closing the borders, and they literally did back then in the 70s, they closed the borders. He said, we had traffic backed up to Mexico City. He goes, and we got one marijuana cigarette. He said, because they knew what we were doing, and so nobody was stupid enough to try to come across the border with any drug. He goes, it was a horribly failed thing, but, you know, the president said it, and we did it, and I was a part. You know, he just had a lot of interesting and funny stories to tell. You know, shook hands. He took a picture with my wife, and he's 79. That was probably the thing I took away from the evening more than anything else. He's 79, and he's getting ready to run for sheriff again. And he really seems to be, you know, on top of his game.
Nice.
And he's talking about his wife, what a trooper she is. He goes, you know, in the early days, she used to go out and start my car for me. But he goes, now I got guys that do that. Because it really could blow up now. Because he's really he's being sued by the federal government. He's being sued by every liberal group in America. And I know a lot of people really disagree with his policies raiding these businesses, these, you know, rounding up illegals and sending them back or locking them up. He doesn't send them back. He locks them up. They do their time, then he sends them back. And I know a lot of people, it's a really, a big controversial thing. And he said, but you know what? He says, I know people talk about me and they hate me and they're, you know, every group in America is suing me over it. He goes, but go into a fast food restaurant today and find out who's serving you in Maricopa County, in Phoenix. He goes, chances are it's a teenager, U.S. citizen, who has the legal right to be here and to work here. He goes, people talk about how many people I've ran out of the state. He goes, how many jobs have I created? Nobody talks about the jobs I've created for the people who have a legal right to be here and work here. He goes, nobody, you know, he goes, I get nothing for that. His inmates, who he has living in the tents, he feeds them on. He apologized. He goes, I used to be able to feed them for 47 cents a day. Inflation, it's now costing me 50 cents a day to feed him. So he's a tough guy. You know, he's really old school. Came out of Chicago. He's Italian. And I'll end there, folks. That's my having dinner with Sheriff Joe story. There was no bodyguards or guards or entourage. I just sat right next to him, you know. Shook his hand. Said hi, you know. Yeah, not that he was really interested in talking to me, but he's very approachable. Well, elections are coming, and so this was a local. It was a meeting of the local Republican precinct at the Jumbo Buffet, and so we ate well and listened to some war stories. So yeah, it was kind of neat. not my typical Tuesday evening. Not sure what that is, but it's a night I'll remember. And my grandfather, many have heard this story before, my grandfather was the sheriff of the little town I grew up in Georgia. I was his Opie to... He was my Andy Taylor, I was his Opie, however that goes. Yeah, true story, little town in Georgia. And my grandmother would, of course, been Aunt Bee. I'm not sure who the other characters would have been, but yeah. So there was a tie-in there because I was talking to my wife on the way home. I said, doesn't that kind of remind you? He remind you of my grandfather? She goes, yeah, he really does. Sheriff Joe's, you know, well-traveled and highly educated. My grandfather, who was the sheriff of the small town in Georgia where I grew up, he had like a fifth-grade education, which that was considered higher education for that part of the country back in the day. If you got beyond second grade, like my grandmother, that was like big time, you know, because you had to go to work. Your mom and dad needed you to go to work in the fields and pick cotton so you could eat. So, anyway. Oh, yeah, this is a market show. Okay. I'm with you. What's going on?
Nobody's complaining yet.
I digress.
No, somebody is. Maybe not in the chat box, but in their head, they're getting ticked. Now, I want to share a comment from GW. He says, I need to vent. Laugh out loud. Lol. We'll just call it lol. We got lots of lols in here. Yesterday, because he was commenting on my getting stomped out. He goes, I got stomped out yesterday 5 times to the exact tick as Price was moving in my direction and came back to hit the stop loss. Yes, 5 times. Arg. That was trading the new tick chart I've been using. Yesterday was the first loser. You know, GW, that is a huge statement. I don't know what kind of percentage you can put to that, how many days you've been trading that, but to say that that was the first day that you came out on the minus side as opposed to the plus side, from a statistical point, that's huge. That is absolutely huge. Now, because you and Michael have been working together kind of on that trade and on that setup, you know what? If you can go a number of days being plus and then have 1 day with a small minus, then I would be tempted to say change nothing, because that was just one of those days. There might be some way of fine-tuning that, but then again, if you got something that's really working that well, then still a small sample, only 14 days. Okay, but you're trading that in a market, the Russell, which is not affected by seasonal things like we're seeing with corn and other markets. It just does what it does. I mean, there's times of volatility and low volatility, but I think the way you guys are trading this and with the trade setup you're using, I think you're going to see a pretty good level of consistency there. But the fact that you understand that it's a small sample size, only 14 days, that tells me, GW, you read the book. Everybody should read the book. But anyway, congratulations to you. What do I have here in my grab bag for you? Let's see. All right, let's hear it for GW. All right. Boy, the crowd's excited today. All right, Michael, what else? You got some other charts you want to go to? Something you want to look at?
Well, right now, let's see. I do have an email that I just got that I'll forward to you because I think...
You're supposed to say from the mailbag.
Well, I was gonna say it's a good transition to David, because I think he'll be able to talk for the next 2 hours about this. But I think he'll laugh about it anyway. I'm sure he's laughing. Well, he will be laughing about it. I'm going to read it out loud. It's a Dear Abby thing. It says, Dear Abby, my husband has a long record of money problems. He runs up huge credit card bills, and at the end of the month, if I try to pay them off, he shouts at me, saying I am stealing his money. He says, pay the minimum and let our kids worry about the rest. But already, we can hardly keep up with the interest. Also, he has been so arrogant and abusive toward our neighbors that most of them no longer speak to us. The few that do are an odd bunch, to whom he has been giving a lot of expensive gifts, running up our bills even more. Also, he has gotten religious. One week he hangs out with the Catholics, and the next with people who say the Pope is the Antichrist, and the next he's with Muslims. Finally, the last straw, he's demanding that before anyone can be in the same room with him, they must sign a loyalty oath. It's just so horribly creepy. Can you help? Signed, Lawston, TC. And Dear Abby's response is, Dear Lost, stop whining, Michelle. You're getting to live in the White House for free, travel the world, and have others pay for everything for you. You can divorce the jerk at any time you want. The rest of us are stuck with the son of a gun for 2 more years. Signed, Abby.
That's good.
Exactly.
That's really good. Somebody sent me a picture the other day. He was holding like a chia pet.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And the caption goes, Hey, Michelle, go get the bong. I guess you had to see it, but it's pretty funny.
Okay, I just sent that off to you.
All right. Here's the deal. I am now, I'm on the, you know, guys, this is, you guys have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. You think, oh, a couple goofballs, they doing this radio thing, showing some, I'm talking to you on one computer. I'm showing you charts on another computer. See, I'm back to charting on the big screen. Now think about it. Or maybe you don't want to think about it. But I'm going to make you for a minute. Well, you can ignore me and then you don't have to think about it. You can put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 la. But I wish you wouldn't. Okay? And you know what? When you listen to the podcast, don't play it at double speed. That's just not fair. Okay? All right. I'm charting on the big screen again. Mouse dance, see? Yay! But yet I'm podcasting on a separate box that doesn't have the echo. And I'm recording it in WAV format, which I mentioned in the live trading room this morning. The end of yesterday's 2-hour show, that was a 640 megabit, almost a gig, half a gig. And now, I had to save it as an MP3. I got to go back and delete the original. But the sound quality, which I listened to last night, I think it was a little better. I mean, I can only sound so good because, I mean, it only gets so good. But at least it was clear and very audible, and we could hear Michael typing really, really well. You know, you could tell if it was like an A or a W or a Q. That's how crystal clear the audio was. It was awesome. So, but anyway, no. Podcasting on one computer, charting on another, and it's all kind of working. I thought, oh, here we go. Now we woke up the villagers. I thought this was a trading room, not propaganda for right-wing zealots. Well, see, that's where you were wrong. Because this is a propaganda room for right-wing zealots who also trade in our spare time. So you might, you know, God bless doors that swing both ways. So anyway, thanks for stopping by. Have a great day. Want to go to Vegas on that note?
Sure.
You got the natives riled up? Let's do it.
Yeah, remember, I got to cut it short here anyway.
Oh, Michael, you lead such a busy life. You need to slow down, friend.
It's the children.
Smell the flowers. Right. Oh, it's for the children. Okay.
It's always for the children.
I got an undocumented leaf blower outside of my window. Alright. Short break, folks. We'll be right back with more right-wingism.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310. Thank you.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, my right-wing friend.
And good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
I know you're probably in a rush today, like you said, but...
He is, but I'm not. I got all day.
Well, we could...
I see. You just want to talk to him. Okay.
No, I'd like to talk with you too, Dwayne.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what... You're especially sensitive this morning, but...
I am.
That's all right. Now, you can... Even men go through their...
They do.
...little cycles of, you know...
I'm at the change of life. That's my problem.
Well,
and the sports...
you sound your same old lovable self this morning, and...
I already had the sports car, so that won't fix it. So, go ahead.
For the person who didn't want to hear the right-wing stuff on the radio, along with the right-wing stuff, you might learn a thing or two about trading while you're here. So maybe instead of finding a trading room that doesn't know much about trading but doesn't mention the right-wing stuff, you know, the stuff that you'll hear here might actually help your trading. So you can maybe filter that out. And if I may also throw my own little jab right back at you, just for fun, it's the left that owns guns but wants us, the other people, to live by their ideals, to not own a gun. But they own guns. The Rosie O'Donnell and all these people that are the far left, they own guns, but they don't want us to own guns. They want us to live by their ideals, but when it comes down to real life, they live the way we want to live, with a gun. So if you happen to not like the right side, I'm not that crazy about the left either, to be quite frank with you, because I don't want to live by their ideals while they're living actually by mine, the way that I like to live, which is with a gun. And why do I want to live with a gun? Because people who know that I have a gun will tend to not want to confront me because they know they might get hurt, because self-interest plays a big part in how crime gets committed. I don't know if you've noticed that. People don't commit crimes against people who are pointing guns at them. They try to find other people who don't have a gun. See, a lot of self-interest in crime. Rosie O'Donnell knows that. That's why she has a gun. But she doesn't want anybody else to have a gun. You can check that out for yourself. And that's a whole bunch of other left, far left people don't want ordinary people, but yet they're special. They need a gun. Well, so do we.
You ready for this, David?
For the exact same reason.
You ready for this? You got to be ready for this, man. This is so good. Oh, wait, I can't play it from that computer. I can't play the sound
over
there.
But having said that, you're welcome to come back and listen in, because we do have a lot of good stuff about trading. We really do.
We really do. I'll bring it up on the other computer. Because it's what you just said. I don't know. Archie may have said it a little better.
But he may have.
Now, here's the thing. I just want to say this about that. I listen to NPR, National People's Radio. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of liberal things on there that I don't agree with. And my wife even sometimes would give me a hard time. You know, how do you listen to that? And et cetera, et cetera. And I just say, you know what? There are programs here that I find interesting. And I also find the other point of view interesting. I kind of like to know what they're thinking, what they're up to, what they're planning, what they're plotting. You know, I kind of like to know what's going on. And so, for that reason, I listen. And she says, okay. See, I'm not afraid of the other guy's point of view, even if I disagree with him wholeheartedly. That's kind of what America, it's kind of all about, isn't it? Isn't that kind of what America's all about? A little bit?
Last Saturday.
Good evening, everybody.
Okay, listen up. Can you hear it?
Yeah. 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country who want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy seat. You take your big international bankers, they want to, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when they get picked up and train us over to the commies.
I'm glad they put you on the stool. You look tall sitting down.
Now I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers. Which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackers tomorrow.
You could?
All you got to do is arm all your passengers. He ain't got no more superiority there. He ain't going to dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and then pick them up again at the end. Case closed.
Oh, you disarm all the passengers as they get on the plane.
I know. And, you know, it goes further than that, if I may say. And then we will get to trading if the right-wing guy is out there or the left, whatever.
Yeah, we don't mean no harm.
The next step after gun control is army control. We really don't need an army. Or we have to reduce it because we have too much power in that area or whatever. And I just want to say something in dead seriousness to you. The United States would be taken over if we didn't buy, pay for, and earn our freedom every minute of 24 hours a day, every single day of every year. The United States would be taken over by some hostile force, and we would all be in slave camps. That's exactly what would happen if we didn't have an army with guns. The only reason we have our freedom in the United States is because we buy that freedom, pay for that freedom, work that freedom every second of the day. And when that buying, paying, and working for the freedom gets reduced to a point where an enemy thinks he can take over, he will. So if you really believe that individuals shouldn't have guns, then the next step is that the whole country doesn't need many guns either because they're ugly. But it happens to be an ugly truth that you're going to be in a cage from some Islamic or other radical person that's going to take this country over. I mean extremist, not just Islamic. Because, and I mean this sincerely, obviously there are some very, very, obviously the term Islamic is not deadly, but extremists are.
Oh, yeah, that preacher out of Florida, I can't think of the name of that church, he flies under the banner of Christianity, and that guy is about as extreme as it gets.
Right, it happens on both sides.
He shows up at the funerals of American soldiers who died defending that which is right, and pickets them. And that guy is just—he's a nut.
People are nuts.
Doesn't matter what your race, color, creed, any. You can be a nut.
Yeah, you can be a nut no matter what side you're on. So I even want to take the word Islamic back because I happen to know some Islamic people. Some of our customers are Islam. It has nothing to do with them being nuts. There's just extremists on all sides.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. I appreciate you making that. The Christian right goes really, really far in some cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a group of people in this country that believe that the Bible instructs them to kill every abortion doctor.
Right, yeah.
And that's what
yeah.
they do.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Dorman Owens, who is probably passed away now, that was in San Diego, that was a man that I knew many years ago that went to jail because he was part of an abortion bombing. Well, you know, that obviously that's an extreme right thing. It's wherever the extremes are. But my point is this. The United States is here. Our freedoms are here because we buy and pay for them every single day, and we're armed to the teeth because without that, someone's going to come in and take us over. Someone's going to take you and your family and make them their slave. That's what's going to happen in one way or another if we're not well armed. And so after you disarm us, the far left, while you have your guns because you're special and you're a TV host or something, whatever your particular reason why we have to live by your ideals unarmed while you're armed, then the next step, of course, is now we got to start working on the army. because that's got the word arm in it. And we've got to, you know, let that go too. We got to tone down the army, spend less on defense, and before you know it, you know what's going to happen in the end. So, yeah, you know, I'm not a, if you're talking to me or anybody else on this program, I wouldn't say that the program is just pure right wing, but I certainly don't want the left and their ideals dictating to me that when a man breaks into my home, that my best and only defense is to quiver on the floor and ask for my life, beg for my family's life, because of your ideals, while you sit in your home with your gun. Okay, that's not going to happen in America, and I can promise you that from this day till the end of your 10th generation of family's death, there are going to be legal guns in America, or legal firearms of some kind, because America is not going to go unarmed. It ain't going to happen. You can fight for it as long as you want, but we started with guns, and we're going to end with guns. Now, whether they're guns or laser beams or whatever they are, people are going to want the right to defend themselves, because people inherently know that there's whack jobs out there that want to break into your home and kill you for your TV, your 36-inch flat panel, or whatever. Our friend Michael, who's on the TV program with us sometimes, the big trader guy, he had six people break into his home, pistol whip his maids, and steal his safe, a big safe that had pictures and heirlooms and stuff like that in there. Wow. Now, Michael wasn't home when that happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Michael owns guns. So you can rest assured that if Michael had been there and had pulled out his gun, a whole bunch of those things wouldn't have happened.
Wouldn't have happened, yeah.
But if we live by your way, where you own a gun but we don't, because you're special for one reason or another, and we have to live by your ideals, I'm not going to do that. You know, if guns were illegal, I'd still own a gun, because I know human nature, and so does every other human being. The world is nothing but a bunch of conflict, and you are an idiot if you think that if you are nice to people who are madmen, that they're going to be nice back to you. That's what our president believes, is if you're nice to really bad people, they'll like you. No, they see you as weak. That's what they see you as. They see you as somebody they can run roughshod over. They see you as somebody they can continue building their nuclear weapons so that they can later bomb us or sell it to terrorists that bomb us while you stand by because you want to be seen as nice. That's how they see you. So think twice about how bad guns are, because you have your freedom right now to ask us to not have guns because of guns. That's how you got that freedom. You got the freedom to stand up and say we shouldn't own them because of guns, because we had to fight for that freedom for you to do that, and we'll always have to fight for it. It's not going to go away. Human nature is not going to change. It was the same 10,000 years ago. It'll be the same 10,000 years from now. I'll tell you this. When the day comes, let me finish. When the day comes, Mr. Far Left, when your house is broken into and you're on the floor begging for your life in front of a man who cares nothing about you or your family or your life, guess what you're going to wish you had in your hand before that happened? And there lies my point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, the world we live in. Accept it, deny it. It's just the reality.
Yeah, you can deny it all you want, but the fact is,
there are people
that that's
who
how it is.
Want
there are
what
people
you have.
Who are going to do that.
Whether it's your possessions, your life, your wife, there's plenty of people out there who want to take what you have. You can give it to them. See, here's the thing. You can give them what you have, and they might just shoot you anyway. Just because that is the condition of the world, the fallen world in which we live. I was robbed at gunpoint a few years back. David, I think, was that before you and I started doing the radio program together?
It was before, because you would have mentioned that to me.
Yeah.
I was
at work. My grandmother, who at the time was, I don't know, 75, 76, she called me from Georgia. She called me at the office. She said, "Son, are you okay?" And I go, "Yeah, Grandma, I'm fine." She goes, "There's something wrong. Please go lock the door." I go, "Well, Grandma, I can't. I'm at the office. I got employees. It's Friday. It's payday. People are coming and going. I got checks to sign." She goes, "Well, there's something wrong, and I just wish you could lock your door." And I said, "Grandma, I can't." She goes, "Well, then I'm just going to pray for you." And I said, "Okay." And so I hung up the phone, and I thought, that's kind of odd. Payday went off without a hitch. I locked up the office. I went home. I picked up my wife. We were headed out for dinner. She said, "I need to stop at this store right here, Michael's, for just a minute." And she goes, "And then we'll go straight over to Lone Star for dinner." I said, "Okay, great." I said, "While you're in Michael's, I'm going to pop into the Sprint store over here and maybe look at upgrading my phone." This is back before the iPhone days. She goes, "Okay." I'm in the Sprint store, myself and two employees, and a guy comes in, whips out a gun, herds us back behind the cash register, asks for the money, and once he had the money in his hand, he did the thing, man. He put the gun right on us and turned it sideways, and it was like, you know, I've got the money, and now I'm still going to shoot you. And then he turned and walked out. And, I mean, I've never been in such a situation before. And had I been armed that day, would I have had time to get the draw on him or not? I don't know. Might it have ended up causing me to get shot in the process? I don't know. But would I have probably tried? Yeah, I'm thinking I would. The next morning, I call my grandmother. I says, "Hey, were you praying for me last night?" She goes, "Yeah, I walked the floor. I was pacing for like 2 hours praying for you, and then all of a sudden I just felt in my spirit that everything was okay." And she goes, "I went to bed." "Why, son, did something happen?" I'm like, "Oh my God, yeah, I was robbed at gunpoint." And the only good thing, I got through that without soiling myself. I mean, it was really a pretty terrifying experience. If you've never had a crazy man point a gun in your face, right at your nose, and he's hitching and twitching because, you know, he's obviously robbing you because he needs something really bad. It's not that he just wants to go, you know, for dinner and a movie. I mean, that's not a good place to be. And so anyone that says you shouldn't be able to own a gun has never stood on that side of a gun.
That's true. And one other unrealistic thing from the position of the far left, because there's people on the left that are beautiful. I love them. They're not extremists. We're talking about the extremes now, and asking everybody to not own a gun to be able to protect themselves because of your silly ideals is extreme. But the other thing is that it currently is a fact that millions upon millions upon millions of people in the United States own a gun, and they're not running around shooting everybody. It's the same people that were always there that are shooting people. It's criminals. That's who has guns. And they're always going to have a gun. They're going to be able to get a gun. They're criminals. There's underground guns. There's millions of them. So it's not like we already are there where we own millions and millions of guns, and people very nicely handle them all day long. Yes, once in a while there's an accident with one, something unfortunate happens. But the fact is that the world goes on very nicely with millions of those guns out there. So that's something to consider as well, that it already is a fact that we have them and we're living quite sanely with them. The only people that are causing us grief are the people who want to commit crimes. And okay, so we don't have to have
one,
that anymore,
one last thing,
oh,
and then we're
and
done.
It's always one last
thing. Sheriff Joe, I had dinner with last night. Last night was Tuesday night. Monday night, he had dinner with Ted Nugent, who is the big spokesman for the National, whatever it is, Association to Bear Arms. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
Ted Nugent. He's big. Yep. He's a big game hunter. He's, you know, he's big pro-gun, everything. And so, anyway, Sheriff Joe, a funny story. He goes, he went to Reno to have dinner with Ted Nugent. And he says, wherever I go, he goes, I always have all these people that come out and protest me. He said, so I made sure that my aide sent out on the Twitter that I was having dinner with Ted Nugent in Reno, he said, because I kind of wanted to impress Ted, you know, with all these protesters. He says, because I go to Vegas, because no matter where I go, D.C., Boston, he goes, there's always people to protest. He goes, I made sure my aide sent it out on the Twitter feed. I don't know how to do it myself. I had my aide do it. And we Twittered, we did the Facebook, and not one protester showed up. He said, I was very disappointed. But I had a nice dinner with Ted.
Well, so
that's my Joe Arpaio story, and I'm done.
Well, listen, I've been to Arizona many times, and Joe, I've never met him, but one of the reasons people don't like him is because he's hard on crime. He's not hard on people who aren't committing crimes. He's hard on people who are committing crimes, and that bothers people that he's hard on crime.
Hey, I spent the night in his house before. Okay, get my drift, guys. Few years ago, he's been a sheriff here a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I spent the night at Sheriff Joe's house, and that was my that was really the turning point in my life. Not because he dressed me in pink underwear and made me eat a green bologna sandwich, because I was only in the Horseshoe and I was only there overnight, so I was spared all of those atrocities. Didn't have to go to the tents or any of that. But here's a man who incarcerated me, and then I sit down and break bread with him. So, because right is right, and you know what? I was wrong at that point in my life. I had broken the law. And so the law said you need to be arrested. And so I got arrested. I can own that. I didn't have to tell that story, but I lived this incredible life of transparency. So, because that keeps me... that keeps me. I need that.
Well, there you are.
I need that in my life. Okay. So, anyway, what is it? How does that thing go? You're only as sick as your secrets. Is that how that goes?
I don't know, but that's.
No, there's a really clever saying. You're only as sick as the secrets you keep. I think I better Google that. I think it's a Dr. Phil, and I'm not big on quoting Dr. Phil, but he probably didn't make it up. Some really smart guy like Dr. Drew, probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the markets here and take a quick look. If you'd like, we can start with the S&P today. Dwayne?
I left this. This is becoming like a real... I'm not going to let this degrade any further. He says, I knew you were a pothead. Oh, gosh. There's so much more you don't know.
Oh, yeah, don't even ask.
I'm a degenerate to the ninth degree. I got a black belt in degeneration, so let's move on.
Okay, Dwayne, can you hear me okay?
Dwayne? Hello, caller, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, Dave, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sure.
Let's take a look at the S&P for today. Again, this is something that we have to go back just a little bit here. We had been forecasting a weekly bottom in the S&P. This is off of reflected wave, and the on-time bottom, it was due on the week of June 13th plus a week. They made a slightly lower low on the week of June 20th, and then this advance, which almost certainly the week is going to close well, is the beginning of that multi-week advance that we've talked about that we are expecting in off this weekly bottom. Now remember that this weekly bottom, in spite of the fact that it's advancing, is one time frame lower than the quarterly top that's in. So it's very important to know all the time frames. This is a very important part of reflected wave, and it gives you almost a GPS kind of view of where you are stacked up, nested in all the different time frames with tops and bottoms. You can start from a very large time frame and drill all the way down to very, very low time frames and really get a beautiful picture. It's almost like a picture. It really is. It's almost like sometimes it's so pretty you want to hang it on a wall in a museum and look at it because it's so pretty. But right now, the main one is that we have a quarterly top that was put in the second quarter. That was the on-time bar. It came one quarter late. And it actually closed in the one quarter late below the on-time quarter's high, which sort of technically for us still makes it an on-time quarter. It doesn't matter what you call it, but it came one unit late on the chart, And so we declined off that, and in that decline, we put in a weekly reflective wave bottom, and we're now rallying off that bottom. So this was forecast weeks in advance, and the market is now confirming that. You know, we're at Wednesday. We have a couple days left, but it's pretty likely that the week is going to close pretty well, and then we would have higher prices. And this is not; these are not forecasts, but we said that just the natural place for the market to go on the upside would be 1326. That's an area that you could take advantage of on the way up in a multi-week advance. And then from that point forward, we're going to treat the market from that point forward as if it's a bounce in a downtrend based off of the quarterly top. We're going to give reference to the quarterly top, and because of the quarterly top, we would expect the market to go sideways to lower for the remainder of this year. So that's the bigger picture right now. And
might I interject and pay you? Well,
sure. Please.
I'm always interrupting you. But I want to pay you a compliment. So I don't know. Does
but
that make
it? You
make
good points, though.
Okay, this is a
especially
really good
when
point.
Compliments.
You went on and on yesterday about, well, you know, I really like that 1291. Yeah, buddy. You kept going on. Oh, I sure do. Because we were over here, and it was like, you know. Back and forward, a little back and forward. David goes, "Hey, boy, if they're at 1291, I'd like to sell against that 1291." And you said, "Well, yeah. Dwayne, what do you think?" I go, "Well, I like that." I go, "But we have a number that's just a little bit higher." But I was sitting here watching it as it came to pass, okay, and it came to pass right here. Although we weren't on the radio anymore, I knew that the folks over at Page Trader. We're taking advantage of this. Did you? Did you, in fact?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. And also, this was for people, nobody knows this body of work because it's the roadmap stuff. But then this inverted. Normally, the market would have gone down lower from the 91 that we sold against. And we did have a trade-off of that.
Yeah, I mean, that was still a nice move.
Decent, nothing big, but it had a decent little move down.
I mean, the fact that way down here. Way down here, you said, you know, we'd like to sell 91 if it gets up there. I mean, I don't know. I thought that was a real piece of work.
Oh, well.
In a good way.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And then later in the day, it did invert, and that sent prices for us. That would send prices up to 1301, and we're higher than that now.
Yeah.
So this means now for us that the larger forces are at work. When they're above 1301, especially on the daily close today. So we do want to watch the daily close today and see how the market closes with regard to 1301. And let me just verify that because I want to make sure that I'm giving the right number out. So
now,
give me one moment
looking, I'm going to tell you where we're at on this thing. We have a number.
Please.
Our final number is substantially higher than this. Okay, but we've only got one more zone left for the week, and we've got this little double top right here that was put in at 1304 on the overnight and then just prior to the open this morning. And quite frankly, everyone in the live trading room knows, in this area here, I was looking for the market to break down and to get into a short. And I didn't have anything really to put me in a long position, and so I didn't, and I haven't. So I'm really interested to hear at this point in our programming today where you see this market going, if it be higher or if it be lower.
Well, first a couple things.
Okay.
The bigger picture is of course the higher prices on the we're looking for a multi-week advance off of the bottom that was forecast for the June 13th. And so that's the bigger picture. And then what we want to do, and that would take us, the natural level on the upside would be 1326, and we would like to buy pullbacks on the way there. We do have, by the way, forgive the sales pitch, but we do tomorrow have a webinar on reflected wave. You're welcome to come to it. There's no obligation of any kind. And I'm going to go over reflected wave a little bit more in some detail if you have an interest in it, because it can call the exact price bar that the market will pull back to in a pullback so that you can buy that on the way up to higher prices. That's a typical thing that a reflected wave does really, really well. And if you want to learn how to do that, or at least learn more about it, come to the webinar. And then if you really want to, you can come to our seminar, which will be in Las Vegas at the Mirage Hotel on August 20th and 21st, about how reflected wave works. And I've said this before, I'm just going to say it again. I don't believe that there is a single turning point methodology that has been published in the last 100 years that can do what reflected wave does. In fact, I'll just come out and say I know that there is none, because I've seen everything. I mean, everything in English. I've seen everything that's been published on turning point.
Yeah, there's some guys doing some stuff in Hindi that you don't know about quite yet.
Yeah, I don't know some stuff about, yeah, that. But I am aware of everything that's been published and in English.
Nothing
can do what reflected wave does.
People have thrown out so much stuff over the radio show. Well, what about this method and this guy and this book? And I've, surprisingly, you obviously are well-read and have done your research. I'm not just trying to flatter you and blow smoke up your chimney, but people have thrown out names and books and theories, and you not only have said, I've kind of heard of that, but you actually could speak about it a little. So you really have looked at a lot of different stuff.
I really have. I am a reader, and I really enjoy reading, so it's not hard for me. Some people, reading is, you know, that isn't their thing, but I really do enjoy it, and I really do enjoy the history of markets and what people have come up with. There have been some enormously clever and unusual approaches to trading the markets that have come up over, and then there's the main body of work that people have come up with that has become very accepted in the mainstream, and there are some people that can work with the main body of work and make it work for them. In the end, no matter what you use and no matter what you know, trade selection is the, for me, is the final thing that determines whether or not you're going to be successful or not, or how successful you're going to be. The idea of trade selection, knowing what you understand and waiting until you see it and understand it, and see it and can trade it. And then, of course, risk management, and the things we've talked about many, many times on the program. But in the meantime, so your question, Dwayne, thanks for the little input there. On the way up here, we are looking for higher prices over the next several weeks, and then we are going to be looking to sell short with the expectation of the quarterly chart continuing to express itself on the downside. So this is a bounce in a potentially in a downtrend here.
Okay,
so that's
that
kind of where. I'm sorry?
That ties into Richard's question. David, where's the monthly sitting now, which is between the quarterly top and the weekly bottom?
Well, in reflected wave, we've gone past the monthly.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure when he says where is it, he means what is the turn on a monthly. There is no turn on the monthly because the market, this is a little bit deeper, but just follow this. The market expresses itself on different time frames, and that expression turns into a top or a bottom. Maybe an easier way to say it would be that the market expresses tops and bottoms on different time frames. So as an example, you could be looking at a five-minute chart and see a bunch of tops and bottoms on a five-minute chart, but all of that would be the market, as an example, bottoming on a daily chart. All of those little five-minute tops and bottoms actually cluster together and finalize in maybe what's really happening on the chart, which is a daily bottom. You can know that that daily bottom is the real thing that the market's expressing. Yes, it expressed itself on 15 different tops and bottoms on the way to completing the daily bottom, but what the market's really expressing is the daily bottom. That's what's going to turn the market. That's the force that's at work right now. Because the market doesn't work on the same levels all day and all night, time levels, time frame levels. It's working on different ones, and different ones rule for a period of time. Reflected wave catches which one is ruling. It's a very, very effective way of knowing what is ruling the market and then which top you can trade on. So as an example, right now we've said that the quarterly is the one that rules the market on the top side. And so because of that, there is no, to answer Richard's question, there's no monthly indication. There's only two indications at work right now, quarterly and weekly. There will be a monthly indication at work at some point, but right now it's the quarterly and the weekly that are at work. Now, you can certainly look at a monthly chart and say, we indeed did have a top on the monthly chart in May of this year. There was a top there. But with regard to reflected wave, it considers the top a quarterly top, and there's a special reason for why it considers it a quarterly top. I can't go into the details right here because it has to do with the whole method by which this works, but it is in fact a quarterly top, and we were able to forecast that top in November of last year for this year. So the market did put in the quarterly top, and by the way, I've said this before and I just want to repeat it, because under most conditions the market will put these tops in at important prices, and the only caveat that I have to this particular setup is that normally the market would have gone to 1383 on the upside. That would be the natural level for the market, and we got to 1373. And even though on a quarterly chart that's not a very big miss, I mean it's just a very little bit, really, you know, they should have gone higher, and that's the only caveat that I have about this quarterly top. And by the way, the quarter ends in just a couple of days here, so it's very important to see where we close this quarter, and so we'll talk about that as we get into it. In fact, this weekend, July 4th weekend, and I hope everybody has a great old time, is going to be the ending of the quarter, and so we just got a couple of days here left before
Richard
we do
that.
Got
it, thanks. Have you ordered the book yet?
Have I ordered? Is he asking me, did I order the book? What is? I know what he's talking about.
He asks that question every day, and I keep not asking you the question, and so...
Okay. No, actually, Richard, thank you for asking me, and I know what he's talking about. I did not order that book, and I need to do that, and I had just forgotten with the blur of everything that's going on. Richard had contacted me and pointed me to a book that I would be interested in reading, so I need to take a look at that. And thank you so much for that as well. It's very kind of you.
Speaking of books, Kevin asked, David, would you be willing, since you are so well-read, would you be willing to give out like a top 20 reading list for traders that maybe we could publish on the website or something?
I liked Edison Gould. He was a relatively unknown market technician. It's interesting because nobody's asked me that before on your program, I don't think. But and correct me if I have his name wrong, but I haven't spoken his name in maybe...
I don't...
Actually, the last time I spoke his name was in the CQG interview that was done like a decade ago. And that interview is in our nightly report. There's a little link, and they asked me a bunch of questions. And I just answered it as, you know, they were asking questions of a trader. And so, you know... this kind of thing. It's in our nightly report.
The only book I've heard you mention or author is the one, The Strategic Options. What was that guy's
name?
Right.
That's Lawrence McMillan, who is... Yeah. The reason we brought that up is because a lot of people have talked about options, and so has Bert from Daniel's Trading. And I really like this particular book. It's a book about options. It's not a book... It's a book about the various ways that options can be put together and how they pan out and what they mean. It's like, here's the ingredients for food. You know, these are all the ingredients for options trading. And so Lawrence McMillan, who is a really, really thorough and very knowledgeable person about options, put this book together, and it turned into pretty much the Bible for options traders. It's called Options as a Strategic Investment. It might be in its 11th printing now, which for a market book is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to ever be a pocket edition. It's a really big book. It's very thick. It's thicker than the Bible. So it's really a home book that you would have, and or you know, you could get it on your Kindle or whatever, but it's got every kind of option strategy in there. And I started my trading in using one of his options strategies, which was something called rolling for credits. Sometime we can talk about that. It's a it's a dangerous strategy, but it works most of the time. So we can talk about that sometime if you want.
Joe has a question. Well, if you come up with some other books, maybe you email them to me.
Well, first of all, before you ask the question, let me say this again.
Okay.
Go take some time and go find some of the work of Edison Gould. I think that's... I haven't spoken his name in 15 years, and let me tell you something about him. He was in the background in the earlier part of the century. He had, I believe he may have been one of these guys that was a natural in the markets. I think he may have been one of the rare individuals who was kind of born with a way of looking at things which most people are not when it comes to the markets, but he might have been one of them that was born with a way of looking at things, because he came up with a lot of very astute forecasts that, I, from what I can see, the majority of them worked out. And so he was a very unusual and quiet and in the background guy. And I, whatever I was able to read on him, and I'm sorry that I don't have a list in front of me, but you can go on the internet and search him out. I think you'll find him to be interesting. That was one of the more interesting ones that I had read about. And of course, I've read the major guys too, like everybody has. You know, Elliot, and Elliot was a wonderful guy. You know, from the Elliot Wave thing. I mean, here's a man who was, you know, contracted this illness. He had, prior in his life, had been running tea rooms back then. That was like our coffee shops today. And he was basically more or less an accountant for tea rooms, which would be like saying you're an accountant for Starbucks nowadays or something like that. And then the very next thing he does is he gets ill, and during his illness he writes a book, and it's something like Secrets of the Universe. He went from tea room accounting to Secrets of the Universe, and he came up with the Elliott Wave Theory. And I can only imagine that in his day and his time, it was probably just an amazing discovery. The Elliott Wave Principle is true in a strange sort of way. It's very, very difficult for most people to use it as a true trading method. There are software programs, and I'm not going to discount that some of them may be very good at what they do, but in general, it's very subjective, and some, most of these programs are trying to objectify it. But in the end, even though it can be very difficult to actually use it as a forecasting tool with real super precision, in the end it works out to be true in spite of that, and that's because the Elliott Wave Theory allows for quite a bit of different types of things. You know, the markets are as big as life, and but yet it does tend to fall into the categories that Elliott Wave says that it would. And if it doesn't sometimes, then, you know, Elliott Wave sort of either disregards it to some extent or has some special classification. I think it's probably truer on equities than it is on commodities. Even though it is true on commodities and can be seen, I think it can be seen better the wider the participation in the market. Just my opinion, you know, on the Elliott Wave. But anyway, it was probably a very exciting time for him, and he came up with that theory based on his own observations, and he himself made a number of very accurate market calls by using his own discovery. So it had to be very exciting for him to be alive and to have jumped from this tea room accountant status all the way up to Secrets of the Universe status. You know, that's a pretty good leap. Mm-hmm. And then to make money off of it and to write a book which and a theory that has, you know, stood the test of time. So I credit him with that. And I also credit, by the way, who's the fellow, Robert Prechter. It has nothing to do with his market calls, but I really appreciate his passion for the Elliott Wave Theory, putting aside market calls and all that stuff. I really enjoy
that. Doggone it, one day he's going to be right.
Yeah, but putting that aside, putting his calls aside, the fact is that he really, in a way, is the spiritual heir in many ways to Elliott himself. He really took it on, and he made his whole life out after it, and I appreciate that passion. I mean, he took it and ran with it. And so he kind of became the preeminent Elliott Wave guy, putting aside whether you like his market calls or not. And I appreciate what he did with it, and the amount of time and energy and how much of his life he devoted to that. Big, big, big thing, you know. And so he still has a company that is around, Elliott Wave International, that, you know, does this sort of thing. It does Elliott Wave counts for people and, you know, all that stuff. It's a very subjective tool, you know, and you have to use it best. But anyway.
Edson Gould was a small, shy man.
Yes, shy guy.
Graduated from Lehigh University. He was an engineer. He was intent on becoming an engineer, but in 1922 joined Moody's Investment Services, where he immersed himself in research. He became obsessed with finding the one factor over and above economic conditions that sparked the market.
Does that sound familiar at all?
Well, it gets even more familiar. He goes, I carried indices back over 100 years and soon discovered that no matter how much you knew about fundamentals, you still didn't get very accurate stock market answers. Now, here's where it starts to sound really familiar. A Dixieland music lover and banjo player, How many banjos you got now, David?
I've got a few.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's guitars, but banjo is close enough. It's a close relative of guitar.
Gould first looked for his answer in the harmonics of music, then in quantum physics, with no luck. Finally, he found his answer at the New York Public Library in Gustave Le Bon's 19th century book on mass psychology called The Crowd. It brought me the realization that the action of the stock market is nothing more than a manifestation of crowd psychology. With this insight, an apparently irrational stock market became comprehensible. Gould concluded that stocks sell at the price they do not because of any systematic evaluation of their real worth, but because of what the mass investors think they are worth. And guys, I just Googled that, so you can go read more about it. But, it, you know, I had not heard the name before, and so I'll enjoy this afternoon spending a little time on
I think everybody should read his work. I think there's a lot of interesting things in it, and there's a lot of value. And he actually was able to make, good market calls, and I just found him interesting. I just really did. I just somehow stumbled onto him myself many years ago and really hooked into him. So there may, you know, that's one, and that's, so somebody asked about books, and I liked that. I liked his whole history, and so you might want to check out what books there are still available with regard to him. I'm a real fan. I've said this before on the program, and I'm going to say it again. I really believe that everybody has a unique perception, that they themselves unknowingly have perception that, although it's natural to them, they don't realize that they see certain things in life in a very unique way that other people don't see. And because it's natural to you, you just take it for granted. Like a child who, you know, hears, you know, I'm just using this as an example, like in a movie, a child who hears other people's thoughts thinks that other children also hear other people's thoughts, but he doesn't realize that's something special to him. So in that way, we all have a unique way of perceiving certain things in life. For a musician, it might be the musicality. For a mathematician, it goes on and on, because life is so big. It could be in anything that's not even called a field. You perceive things in a certain way. Jim Carrey perceives humor in a certain way, and because of that, because of his perception, he is Jim Carrey. He has what he does. So even though you may not be a Jim Carrey or an Albert Einstein or whatever, I can guarantee you that you have a unique perception in some area of your life, and you're unaware or perhaps slightly aware of that unique perception. So, what I really like is for people to see if they can find for themselves a unique perception about the market. Rather than, there's nothing wrong with reading about others, but rather than relying completely on the work that previous people have done, and it certainly is valuable to know it, and it's interesting to learn it and all that, but I really am a believer in finding your own unique perception, because you absolutely have it. I've never met a person yet that I could honestly believe doesn't have it, and I know many people who have it in specific areas that I already, it's blatant and you can see it. So I'm a real believer of you taking the time and energy in your life, even if it isn't to do with the market, but to find where you have that special, you see things in a kind of a special way. That means that you can go in that direction and do some great things. That's what that means. That means you have something that others don't have and can walk down that road and pick up a lot of gold nuggets that are not available to everybody. The guy over here, he may have a different road, different perception, different gold nuggets he can pick up. But I believe that every single human being is endowed with a special, I don't believe it, I know it, that they're endowed with special perception of a certain thing in life, because life is so vast that everyone has it. Anyway, I believe in that being applied to the markets as best as you can, so that you can find something that really connects with you. And even if that perception, like in Robert Prechter's case, happens to be about somebody else's work, in his case, he was referring back to R.N. Elliott, the person who came up with the Elliott wave theory. He had a unique perception towards that. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not talking about the market calls, but he, that's where he felt he needed to go. And that he he took him down a path, and he was, you know, by all standards, successful in that. At least, you know, he's running his business, he's made some market calls, etc. But specifically about markets, there, you know, everybody sees the same thing, right? The market goes up and it goes down and it goes sideways. But the truth of the matter is that everybody doesn't see the same thing. I know that for a fact, because I've spoken to traders who look at the same market in very, very different ways, and so have you probably. So I'm a believer in that. Read all the books you want, but you will find that you are carrying with you a gold mine in some area that is made of unique perception, that is so natural to you that you have not maybe noticed it yet. Maybe you have noticed it, but that perception can be used to great advantage in this life and for your own fulfillment. So I really like that. When you get at some point, books bring you to a certain area, and then, you know, that's like the boat gets pushed out, and then you have to row the boat on your own, and there's a great satisfaction in that because you now control the boat, and on and on and on, whatever the analogy is that you want to carry through. So I really like the idea of everybody finding their own unique perception. Look at yourself, take time to, you know, one of the most interesting things about human nature is that we're always outward turned. We want to know about the universe, we want to know about the oceans, we want to know about other lands and all that stuff. We believe in distant places, and, you know, all this stuff is all outward turned. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's natural in the beginning. But I think what's also natural is later in life, this is just my opinion, that it then becomes natural to start to look a little bit more at the person who's been doing all the looking, at the person and the whole business of being you. And to take a look at yourself is the beginning of what all philosophers have talked about, which is self-knowledge. Not knowledge in the sense of accumulation of a bunch of facts. That is a form of knowledge, but that's really the cheapest form of knowledge. That's just being able to repeat something that you've memorized. I'm really talking about a working knowledge, a knowledge of who you really are, rather than a knowledge that consists of memorized data, you know, which, again, that's the cheapest form of knowledge. It almost doesn't even, you know, it bears the name, but that's the cheap form of knowledge. Being able to remember things, connect things together is intelligence. But to know yourself is a whole nother level. And I really think that early in life, the outward turned way is natural. And as you get older, you start wanting to overcome things. You start realizing that the only thing there is to overcome is this thing that you call yourself. These problems that you have and these same repeating occurrences in your life and all the things we've kind of talked about on the program. So in doing so, you're going to find out a lot about yourself. And you don't have to dig very deep, because all this stuff kind of comes up on its own if you'll just get into a quiet state of mind. And this doesn't mean anything mystical. It just means, instead of being outward turned, it just simply means that you're relaxing and you're spending some time allowing your own mind to go wherever it wants to go. And a lot of stuff starts to come up, and you begin to learn about what's in your mind, what you're carrying around with you, ideas, perceptions, thoughts, feelings, all these different things. And just the mere act of doing that, if you took no further step, the mere act of that is an enormous improvement over simply being outward turned and always chasing the next thing out in life. So I always suggest, and I have it on this program many times, that you find your own perceptions in things and apply them to markets or whatever you want, because like I said before, it's no joke. You absolutely have something unique about you in your way of looking at life and things, and a few of those are dramatically different than the majority, and they can do you great good if you want to find them. So there's a whole area to go there. So I'm sorry I don't have any other books to name, but
okay. If any come to mind, I'll create on the
we could
blog.
We create a little book list for people to read or something. That would be
Everyone knows what my top of the list is. And
what is that?
I put the challenge out of the partners, and some, you know, it's funny. Some of them actually got a little bit aggravated because I said, "You guys, you need to read this book." I said this in a partners meeting, and they're like, "Well, okay, what's the name of the book?" I go, "No, I've told you a million times the name of the book. You need to go into the members area of the website where I've handed you one chapter, and then you need to," and so people, they really got mad because I wanted them to do a few mouse clicks, because I thought if I can make you go through this process, then the name will stick in your mind, and then you'll actually perhaps be moved to own the book. I mean, a few clicks at Amazon and it shows up at your door. It's Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. There, I said it. I mean, I've only said it a million times on this show. It has. There's not one indicator, not one oscillator, no moving average, no strategy, methodology in the book. The book talks about the mindset that you need to succeed in this business of trading, because it is so vastly different from any other profession. You only need a slight edge to come out ahead in the long run. You need some kind of edge. And you speak well on this subject, David. Sometimes I hear you talk and I almost think you read the book, but you've told me that you, in fact, have not read the book, but you and him think along the same lines. And you brought this up the other day about the blackjack tables there in Vegas. The casinos could care less who wins or loses the next hand. If it's the player, the house, it doesn't matter, because they know that the odds are stacked. Because of the way the dealer deals the cards, the way the whole game is set up, they know that over the long haul, they're going to win. Mm-hmm. They're going to make money off those blackjack tables. A lot of tourists will come. They'll have some fun. They'll spend some money. A couple will go back to Iowa with a little change. But the bottom line is, and that's what Mark Douglas talks about in the book, and it takes an entire book to cover this subject, because he goes all the way back to a child who has never encountered a dog before, like a 3-4-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. If the first dog that child encounters bites them, okay, that child is going to have an impression of dogs that's going to be with them for a very long time. It's going to take something very strong to change that child's impression of dogs. They're going to be afraid of dogs for a very long time. Right? Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, the first dog that a small child ever encounters is very playful and happy and licks them, then that child is going to have a very different impression of dogs. Now, two problems here. The one child who's afraid of dogs is going to cheat himself out of a lot of great childhood pleasures of playing with dogs. The other child, who thinks all dogs are good and friendly, now sets himself up to be the next child to get mauled or bitten by a dog. Now, I mean, Mark, he really walks through the whole psychology and mindset of how you can survive mentally, not financially, not with indicators, but psychologically, how you approach this business of trading and how you lose your emotional attachment to the outcome of individual trades. And a lot of people that I know, I recommend they read the book, they get the book, they go, yeah, that was kind of cool, but, it didn't give me any setups. Dude, he just gave you the biggest setup in the universe. He told you how to take one stinking moving average, put it on a 5-minute chart, without saying anything about a 5-minute chart or one stinking moving average. He taught you just how to do the very thing you want so desperately to do, but you've got to... I've read that book and read that book, and I go back and read it again. So the pages are falling out. The words never change. I just sometimes need to hear them again and go, gosh, that is so true,
You know what else is really true, and this again is, and we'll get back to markets just in a second here. I just want to say this, just in addition to that, is that it's been my observation, and I've pretty much said it on the show before, for the most part, we're adults satisfying junior high school urges. And that is going to play itself out in the markets. If you're an adult who really is spending your life satisfying junior high school urges, or the urge to brag, the urge to, the compulsions and all that stuff, it's going to be a hard time in the markets, because the markets tempt all of your Achilles heels.
Yeah.
And so there really is a maturity factor that comes around. And for me, when we've talked about this on the program as well, for me, that I had to burst the bubble, the whole money bubble, the whole thing. We talked about this the other day, and just not care about money, not try to act like I don't care, not trick myself into not caring, actually get to the real condition of not caring. And that made a dramatic difference in my trading, because I wasn't looking at the market through those junior high school compulsions. I was working with them originally to try to get over those individual compulsions, but they all centered on the idea that I have to be better than the next guy, or have more money than the next guy, or drive the nicer car than the next guy. All stuff that was built into me at a young age. And so in order, I couldn't solve the problem for me by solving the individual little problems about, well, let's see, okay, well, I'll just pretend I don't want cars anymore, you know, or whatever my thing was to try to get over that so that I could trade effectively. And it really came down to, I have to throw away the whole mess that was given to me. So, and this is why I like to sit down and look at what's in my mind, because what's in your mind is running your life. That's why I want you to look at it, because that's what's running your life. You are being dictated to by everything that was fed to you. Ideas that you thought, oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I need to show this. So I need to do this. I need to prove myself this way. Those ideas are the basis for your actions. You think you're working on your own and I'll have all this free will, when the truth of the matter is that there's a train track in your mind that you're really on. You don't see the train track. And you're thinking you're having a great old time turning the train anywhere you want to go. But the truth of the matter is, just like that ride at Disneyland,
you're riding the rails.
The little boat, and he's turning the wheel, but it's really on tracks. He thinks he's turning the boat, you know, but under the water, he's just on some tracks. These ideas that you've been given to, basic ideas, you got to be better than the next guy, you got to be this, you got to be that. That is what's running your life. And until you see that and burst the bubble of that causes and all the problems with it, you know, there's not a whole lot of reason to fight these things, because you're not going to win them. You win them by seeing them and getting rid of the whole business of it. It's not getting rid of the little parts. The whole business of, you know, wanting to prove yourself and all that stuff to yourself and to others and all that stuff. It kind of has to, in the end, go away for you with regard to your trading. You know, with regard to your trading, it makes life a lot easier too when you're not being just compelled. You know, an adult body being driven by junior high school compulsions. Who needs that crap? But that's how most people live. So it's a work in progress. But boy, it's a wonderful feeling to finally get rid of something that has been compelling you to act and feel a number of things, because the first step that you made was wrong, and therefore the second step is wrong, and the third, and on and on and on. So you finally get so weird that you know your favorite movie in life is Bride of Chucky. You know, you don't want to be there.
Hey, Joe wants to know if you have a forecast, a top forecast for this bounce that we're in right now.
I don't just yet. I'm just going to say that I want to finish up on the S&P.
That's what
right
he's talking
now,
about.
I'll do the best I can with this question. We're banging into this 1304 level, which is in our panel. The next level of importance above this is relatively close, and it's 1307. This is the highest level for today, I believe. Yeah, 1307/08 is the highest level for today. So if we break out from here, and this is obviously, this has kind of been a trend day so far.
Mm-hmm. A lot like yesterday.
We'll see. A lot like yesterday. But this is the kind of movement that the market does when the weekly chart, this is what we talk about all the time. You buy pullbacks, you're taking 60-minute risk, and you're going to get paid in weekly dollars because it's the weekly bottom that's in. That's why I love reflective wave, is because it gives you all of these pieces to put together, not discounting any other methodology, because there's millions of ways to make money in the market. Well, let me put it this way. There's a few really good ways to make money in the market, and there's millions of ways to try.
Yeah.
That's a better way of putting it. So anyway, 1307, 1308 is the next level above this. If we're able to get above here, we may take a trade for that for day trading purposes. And I don't have anything else on the daily right now. I will probably have something tomorrow. And so if the listener, what was the fellow's name, Joe? If
Joe.
He wants to come online tomorrow, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And real quick, let's jump to a couple of the markets here, because we do have some important things. I know we're running a little bit late here, Dwayne, but
I'm not in any rush today, so
okay.
I don't
okay.
drag it out forever.
Yeah,
but,
anybody who hangs out with Joe Arpaio, you know, you've got. I would think you'd have other important meetings with Mayor. What's her name out there?
Oh no, Mayor. That's the governor.
Governor, thank you. The lady, I like her too. She's good.
Yeah,
okay, we had called for a bottom.
Well, hang on. Okay.
Oh.
Joe had another question.
Oh, sorry.
Can we entertain Joe for another moment?
Yeah, of course.
Joe wants to know, well, this goes way off course of what you want to talk about, so...
I'm fine. I'm off course is my middle name.
David has...
Any long-term listener on your program would know.
There's
that.
Nothing I like better than when you have three balls in the air, two plates spinning, and I toss you a chainsaw. There you go. Dwayne, could you ask David how he's coming with his stock picks that he said he was working on? Thank you.
Oh, that's adorable that you asked that question, because I haven't been working on any recently. I would like to come out with another group of stock picks, because the stocks are really wonderful. You know, with the market this high, there's a lot of really good stuff going on in the stocks. I don't have them right now. Thank you for reminding me. And when I do have them, I'll give them out. We've been more busy than usual because of the work that we do with the training and other stuff right now with regard to the reflected wave. And so the time, there's only so many hours in the day. I'm working almost 12 hours a day as it is now. So with my own trading, with the training, and with everything else, it's quite a bit. But I do want to say about stocks in general that I really like stocks. There's a lot of good, not for day trading, but for position trading. And this is one of the things, again, about reflected wave. You know, a weekly bottom comes in, and you buy that stock, and you're in it for several weeks. It's really easy to hold those positions. You actually own something. You're owning shares in stock. I don't know. Stocks are easy, you know, and doesn't mean we wouldn't have a losing position from time to time, but they're just easy. There's something nice and easy about stocks. They don't move necessarily as fast as the futures, but they're easy to track. They're easy to understand. They're maybe not as tricky as the future market. That's just my opinion. They're maybe not as tricky as the futures market. So I would like to come out with another stock pick list. I take those very seriously. It takes me many, many hours or time, however much it is, to go over and get 10 stocks that I'm willing to say to you, go do this. You can buy this, and I can sleep like a baby because I know I did my homework on it. I'm very comfortable that I like the position that stock is in for you to go buy it. So, you know, it takes some time to put that together. And thank you for asking, and I hope to have it. Let's switch over to soybeans real quick. Just last week, we had called for a bottom in soybeans on June 23rd. Soybeans is up substantially off that low, which was 12.92. Today, we made a swing high of 13.50, about a roughly 60-cent move in soybeans. So that's a good example. That's a reflected wave bottom that one of your listeners asked about, and the market has moved up nicely. And
now you're in September beans?
Yes. And actually, the quotes I just gave were actually for July, but I need to switch over to September. And then let's quick, because I know we're running late on time here, I wanted to go over a couple things. Yesterday, Bert or one of the listeners had asked about the gold market, and I was telling you to, this was more general, it wasn't really an outright forecast, but you know, there was enough there for me to say this almost was something we gave out to our institutional trader.
Okay, what month are we in on gold?
I think it was November, October. Yeah, Q. Anyway.
Okay, here it is. There's a 15-minute chart. Would you like a different time frame?
A daily is good. For
daily?
This because there was a daily bottom that we had forecast for June 27th, and June 27th was the bottom. And I mentioned yesterday that you could just take your own indicators and just look for buy signals, look for pullbacks and buy signals, and that the markets, the first target, you know, yesterday they closed at, you know, 1502 or something like that. And I said the first target on the upside would be approximately 15, 14, 15, 15.
I've got 15, 12, 30 right now.
Right. The high today was 15.1380.
Yep, exactly.
So they came within $1.20, and they're not done yet, you know, on the upside.
Yep.
But this is just a nice, you know, we didn't message it out as a trade, but if for those of you, I hope somebody took a little piece out of this, because this was a very easy trade to, you know, people, for putting a normal type of indicators on this, this would have been very easy to see that it was starting to trend and to take advantage of this. Maybe, you know, maybe you could have gotten $7 or $8 out of that move and still hold for some of the higher prices that we gave yesterday. So we'll move on from there. Just a couple other things real quick. Let me just flash through these real quick. We talked about the euro, and I'm telling you that the euro, or I did tell you yesterday that the euro is going to be going higher because the euro has a weekly reversal that is pushing the market up, and it will go up substantially higher. I don't remember the prices that I gave you, but it's a big move. We're looking for a big move in the euro on the upside. So pullbacks are buying territory.
Looks like even today there's been a good
yeah, just between yesterday and today. And I liked this. The reason I like this setup, this is the classic, this is my classic setup that I really like, which is that we have the on-time week for a bottom in the euro, and we also have roadmap targets on the upside, which I didn't write them down, so I won't bother with them right now. But if tomorrow, if somebody's interested, I'll re-get them for you. But it's a substantial move. And the first target, though, was I do remember the targets now. The first target was going to be 144.70, and today's high so far has been 144.16. Mm-hmm. So we still have more. And yesterday it was lower. I mean, it was like at 143.50 or something, and you could have bought on that. The market is moving up. But this is should, under normal conditions, be a multi-week advance. We don't want to see, for anybody that's interested and is going to follow along with this, and I really like, I've said this so many times, I don't like the idea of buying the weekly. This isn't necessarily a buy the silly thing, on the weekly, because there's an enormous amount of risk to place stops on a weekly bar. But I do like the idea of buying the pullbacks, especially, again, reflective wave pullbacks, where you can nail the exact price bar that they're pulling back on and then buy the market for a continued advance from there. Then you're taking an hourly risk and potentially getting paid in a weekly swing. Weekly dollars, so to speak. So I don't want to see any weekly closes below 141.50. And so that's why I'm saying the risk is pretty big, because we're up at 144 right now. But buying pullbacks in this, using your own indicators, your own insights into markets, find a place to get long, and this is going to be a multi-week advance. So it's nice setup for this market. I would have liked to have messaged this out, and honestly, I will send this out. If we do get a pullback next week into this week's range, it's highly likely that I'm going to be putting out for the institutional people a multi-week, the same kind of information with substantially higher prices. That 144.70 thing that we talked about, or whatever it was, that's just the initial target. Don't worry about that. There will be a reaction off that, and then there will be much higher prices after that. Okay? So I do like the euro, okay. And it's taken quite a time to get the market into position for that, but I don't mind waiting for those larger ones, because you get paid bigger on these weekly moves. You also can take larger risks, but it's not always necessary, because you can buy a pullback in the uptrend.
Now, I will say this about that.
That.
If I may. So you guys, here we had these white candles represent for us, with our indicator set, a potential change of trend. I mean, the blue MA1 and the red, that's kind of self-explanatory. But there's a potential change, in the wind here when you see these white candles. And right across here, we've had three. Often you'll go like here. This is more typical. Red, white, and you get this blue move up. Okay, that's a good size move in the euro. If you go back and look at the previous one way back over here, this is before there was much action in this. That's going way back, because I'm on a daily here. That's pushing us back into February, when there wasn't much action in the September contract. But this is what one of those big moves like David is talking about can look like. Okay, this. And so we have that potentially setting up here. Okay, now David, the way that David forecasts this and is calling for this has nothing to do with this. I'm just saying that what this says totally backs up what he just said. And so that's a trade that, for me, I have two completely different things pointing at that, saying, yeah, this could be good. Okay, coming up out of here, we got kind of a little double bottom here on the daily, and this thing goes blue. I want to be long. Now, to do that from a daily perspective, for me, I can't hold a couple day drawdown. Okay, I'm just not wired for that. But I do know how to get in on a smaller time frame and then, you know, take what I can take out of it. But for those of you who are wired for swing trading and hanging on for multiple days and you know how to do that and your account will handle that, I agree with David that the potential... What did you say your first target on the upside was?
It was 144.70, rough, you know, at or near 144.70.
Okay.
Initial target, and
yeah, and then guys, I'd look left at this swing high and that swing high, which again is not how David does it, but just shows you. I mean, you got you obviously you probably have some resistance here, maybe up here, but I like what you're saying, and I'm going to watch this.
Yeah, and I think it's worth watching. I think for today, it you know both the gold that we talked about yesterday, which we took some advantage of. You know, the winning trades, have you ever noticed, you never take them in large enough size. It just seems like a really common theme with people. Yeah, I should have traded that one larger. You know, of course you're going to say that because you have a winning trade. That's like humor, just sort of making a joke.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I failed to chuckle because I was trying to read a question here.
You don't have to laugh at my humor. Just have me on your show, that's all.
Well, no, I got better than humor. I got this.
Oh!
I've been waiting all day to play that, and I missed my cue. Jason said, on a long this morning, the euro dropped 90 ticks in a one-minute bar. Is that even... Really, Jason? 90 pips in a one-minute bar?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I've heard that kind of thing before. Yes, it's possible.
Okay.
And I'll check my chart, but I just want to tell you something. Your charting platform is the very eye that you view the market at. And on less expensive charting platforms, there are bad ticks and software glitches and all kinds of things that can happen that can look like a big bar like that happened. And I am going to, right now, just for a minute, I'm going to take a look. And I believe that that isn't the case, that didn't happen today. And I'm going to, right now, I'm just bringing up a one-minute chart.
So
nobody's beating you up about your charting platform, but I just want to say a word or two about charting platforms. Hold on. There is a big bar here. Let me take a look. Today is the 29th, and we do have a one-minute bar here.
7:46 a.m. Central.
Yeah, 143.86. Down to 142.92.
Oh my goodness!
He is correct.
Look at that thing.
There it is. But I still want to make my point. Your charting platform is very important, and I don't like the idea of trying to get away with the absolute cheapest platform there is. And the reason is because bad ticks will get put in there that throws off your indicators, whatever indicators you use. It can look to you like your position's being wiped out and you call up and you get out of your position and there's no, you know, nothing like that even happened. But this did happen today.
Yeah, this did.
The market did come down. But you see, that's how the market also just works. There's a larger force at work, the weekly chart, and they get tricky, you know, and that sort of thing can happen in these markets. So
that was during the Greek vote.
Okay.
That's when that happened.
Yeah, and that would make sense because currencies are related to all this and all that stuff. And you know, if we just as a country here, if we just keep spending money because you know we have a debt crisis, and if we just continue spending like we are, then we'll have people running in the streets too, and we'll have little fires being set and people rioting and all that stuff.
Let's see, 90 times 1250.
It'll be great.
That's $1,125 per contract. In 1 minute, if you did not have a stop in, that would be excruciatingly painful. If you dumbed your way into a short trade here, then please come to your senses and just know that, you know, that can happen. You know, yeah, extenuating circumstances, the big thing, the Greece and the vote and all of that. But we've seen the flash crash and so many other things. That's not true. A stop would help, okay? If you're up here and it drops to here, you might get slipped a little bit. But if whoever you're trading with doesn't take you out to down here, well, then you need to go get a new broker. Okay? So don't tell me that a stop here wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have done you any good to have a stop. Well, that's just ridiculousness. So I won't even discuss that.
One last thing. That's a good point, Dwayne. One last thing I want to talk about on the euro, just for people to know. Tomorrow, June 30th, is the next important on-time top in the euro. So we're trading long in the euro. I do like, by the way, again, about reflected wave, this particular method, I like to trade into these tops and bottoms, not just the turn itself. I like to trade into them. So when the market, as it did, when the market's coming into a date like June 30th, which is tomorrow, I like to be buying. I'm not in the euro right now yet. I mean, I haven't done anything with it. I've missed what I thought was my opportunity, and I'll probably buy next week if I get some movement back into this week's range and all that stuff. So putting that aside, my own personal deal with it, I do like to buy into these turning points or sell into them. And then whatever I can do with that trade, when I'm done with it, I like to reverse, because that's what it is a turning point. I want to reverse and go the other way. But what I found is that sometimes, as I've mentioned on the show before, sometimes the largest part of the move comes at the end of the move, not at the beginning, like the previous turn. It actually comes at the end of the move, just as it's finishing, going into, just like how today's market's going up strong, and tomorrow is the on-time day. Sometimes it could be a really powerful move that takes this much higher. So I like that idea as well. That's another thing that I do with the turning points, is I like to trade into them as well as out of them, using them as the turn. You follow? So that's a really powerful thing. I love to see the setup where the market has a weekly bottom, we're heading up, and we have a date of June 30th. I can be buying pullbacks on the way up. I didn't in this case, but that's the idea, that I would be looking to buy reflective wave pullbacks on the way up to higher prices, finishing up this cycle on the upside. So you might want to write that down too, and I'm glad you mentioned the euro again, because I forgot to mention about the June 30th date. If by chance the market was substantially higher tomorrow, like above 146 or something, then I would give less credence to this turn. But the turn is due tomorrow. So for anybody that was long, and for me, that will give me the opportunity, potentially, because we'll have a multi-day decline off that top, that'll give me an opportunity to be a buyer next week inside the larger weekly bottom that happened this week. I'll be able to buy, you'll be able to buy, at a reflected wave turning point of 60 some other time frame, and use that as our risk, and then hold that position for substantially higher prices because of the thrust that comes off of the weekly bottom. It's beautiful. It's a really great way to trade. You're getting the benefit of the larger, and you're risking the smaller. So we'll put that together, and we'll see if we can do something with that, because substantially, as I mentioned yesterday, substantially higher prices would normally be due off of a bottom like this. So, and remember, I've said this so many times, none of this is 100% certainty, but the probabilities are very good. I love the probabilities. You don't need to have 100% to do really well in anything. All you need is a high probability, and that's why trade selection is so important. That's why you can forget and you can stop caring about money and start caring about trade selection. If you care about trade selection, the money, I know you've heard it before, but the money will take care of itself. And you can completely forget about the money, start focusing on trade selection, your trading will improve. You'll be happy. You'll be happy with your trading. You'll see improvements in your monthly statements and in your overall way of doing business. Trade selection is the final frontier for trading. No matter what you know, no matter how sophisticated it is, whether you're using subatomic particle theory to find your entries or whatever it is, in the end, the final frontier is trade selection. That's how it all boils down.
There you go.
And then once you're in the trade, then of course we have risk management and the other things. But as to finding the trade, trade selection is the final frontier. And focus on that, and then the money takes care of itself beautifully. If you focus on money, money will taint your ability to do trade selection. In fact, it does. It's like poison. It poisons your ability to do proper trade selection. Money on your mind, junior high school urges pushing you this way and that. You got to get rid of, you got to get through that, see it for what it is, give it up consciously, willingly, burn it in the fire of your own awareness of it, let it go, and then you can be a really comfortable, relaxed, and happy person who's focused on trade selection and risk management. And with that, you'll be happy, and we can all go out and have a beer and know that we're on the right track on trading, because that is the right track.
Wayne has a question. I'm not sure what you said about the beans, but I remember that you were trying to get long at 1333 on June 20th. Did you say that the advance is over in the beans? I don't remember what you said.
I don't remember what I said either, but there is a today we wanted to be sellers in beans, so there must be, I don't have all my stuff up, but we were selling today at 1348, 1347, and we did have a trade in beans on the downside based on that. So right now we're just, yeah, I think we are looking for a sideways motion here a little bit or down. And the next date, even though today there is a date here for today, this is, it's got, you know, something of some importance, I'm not going to go into the details, but the more important date is July 5th. Now, July 5th, when that date comes, I write that down, because that, for me, see, when you have these dates, the thing that's beautiful is you don't have to torture yourself between now and then. You know that that's the date, plus or minus a day, that you want to start stalking the trade. Mike Reed, trade
yeah,
stalker.
Yeah, I know.
And then you want to
name,
stack
yeah.
the time frames. Stack trade, Michael Bork. You know, and then, you know, I could just go on and on. No, you really want to start putting the trade together, and that's one of the things that keeps me relaxed.
And helps you build your nest egg.
Yeah, exactly. It helps me build my nest egg. Is that I know these dates in advance. You can know the dates in advance as well, and we start to put the trade ideas together as we approach those dates. And we really only start that on the one day early, so that we see we're looking for important prices and all these other things that we've talked about so many times on the program. And so it works out really, really well. There is something on today's date as well, but I'm not, you know, I haven't actually been studying this market today very much, so I'm going to defer to the July 5th date, which is a volatility cycle. I see. I love that, and you should love it too, because that means that we will get a larger directional move out of that, and that gives us the opportunity to buy and know that there's a bigger thrust that's going to come and hold. If you want to be aggressive, something that I need to work on in my own trading is to hold for these further targets. And, you know, you have the tendency to be able to do that when you know that there's a volatility cycle there as well. So that's a good thing. July 5th, we'll continue on with soybeans. And if there is an opportunity between now and then, we'll take it for small stuff. But the big thing is for July 5th.
I was going to shuffle off, but since you said thrust and Richard just said thrust, the euro looks like it's forming a potential triangle on the daily chart, which means once completed, a thrust should take place. Tying in with David's weekly bottom, June 30th being wave D, and then pull back for wave E for a really nice possible rally. So, just when two people say thrust within a 60-second period of time, I have to comment on it. It's not part of my vernacular, thrust, but I understand what it means.
So that's good. Something just struck me, and I just want to mention it to the Raiders.
Are you bleeding?
What's that?
Are you bleeding?
No, I wanted to.
Wow, you said something just struck me. I didn't know if. Never mind.
No, that's good, Dwayne. Well, you want to play word games? Okay. Well,
I
how about
can't,
this?
No.
If you're not careful with your trading account and risk management, all your money could go down the Dwayne. How's that?
That's good.
I think I've made my point. Right down the Dwayne.
All right. All right, so what struck you?
Games. I'm going to win on word games.
You know? Will. I won't even play. I won't even play.
All right.
Just take my money.
Okay, now listen. I do have to run. I know, and we've run over today, and I know people probably have their things to do as well. We wanted to sell short up here. We were short earlier, and while we've been talking, they've been starting to now go down. So I'm going to try to see if we can get something going on the short side here based on the 1304 level that we talked about earlier in the S&P. Was there any other question, Dwayne, that you had for me?
No, I think did I miss anybody's question? Type it really, really quick because he's going and I've got to go.
Yeah, no, I have a minute, but I'm just saying
but I don't.
We've gone over today.
Oh, yeah, there was a good question. The link to your webinar tomorrow afternoon, if they go to pagetrader.com, go to the blog, the link is there, correct?
That is correct, and I'm going to do it right now myself.
Pagetrader.com.
Yeah, you're going to go to pagetrader.com. It says blog on the right-hand side of the screen, Trader Trading Blog. And then webinar Reflected Wave Trading, you click on that link. It says be sure to sign up for our free trading webinar, Reflected Wave Breakthrough Secrets of Supermarket Natural Market Timing. Occurs on Thursday, June 30th at 3:30 Central Time. That's 1:30, 15 minutes after the market closes, wherever you are. David Williams, that's me, will show you how to use the Reflected Wave to identify future market turning points on all time frames and take potentially thousands of dollars out of the market practically every day. I want to say something, and I'm serious about this. If the methodology that you are thinking about buying cannot be demonstrated in real time, repeatedly, don't buy. That's a, Dwayne demonstrates his here. I demonstrate mine and have for 5 years on his program. There are people who are selling things that are expensive. I'm not going to comment on whether they have any value or not. They may have value in the market. But if they have value in the market, they should be able to demonstrate to those that value to you in real time with real markets. And that's one of the things that I love about the program, is that we're given enough time to go through the markets and set these things up and show you in real time so that you can see, you know, here's something we said today and the markets would do this. And it's just the way that the markets work. It's just a simple principle that the markets work on that you can literally make a living off of. And that's one of the reasons I love this program, is because we have the time. It's not just a 15-minute thing where we're just, you know, or 5 minutes and talking about commentary or something. We're really going into markets, both with Dwayne's work. I was just joking about money going down to Dwayne. But that's good.
That was good.
And and our stuff, where we're trying to help you get into positions for, you know, longer-term trades, you know, overnight position, maybe 2 days. And that's really my – for me, that's kind of like my favorite type of trading, because you make a lot of money in a short period of time, or can. You know, you can make a lot – I hate to say that, you know, make a lot of money, but you can make a lot of points in a short period of time. And you can also do your day trading in between that as well. So, you know, I really like that. So, yeah, pagetrader.com. Go to the Trader's Blog on the right-hand side, click on Reflected Wave, and you can go to the seminar or the webinar and learn about it. And so I think that's about it. It's been a real pleasure to be on today. I also want to say that I'm looking forward to this weekend. We're going to be off on Friday. We don't trade on Friday, the day before the whole holiday, because it's usually pretty slow.
Yeah.
But I will be on the radio with you.
Okay.
So we'll still do the radio thing, but for us, our system shuts down on Thursday as the last trading day.
And then your bag business is normal on Tuesday?
I think so.
Okay.
That's what it is.
The 5th. Okay. Well, great. Yeah, we'll be here. We'll definitely be here Friday, and so we'll be here tomorrow to talk with you.
Okay.
And then we'll
Beautiful.
Be back again. David, I don't know if you heard the very beginning of the show, which got off to a bumpy start, but I am
a little bit of it. I did
recording and podcasting on one machine while displaying charts on a second machine, and for me that's just kind of a technological marvel.
Okay.
And you know, I've said it. I think twice in today's show, and I just I wanted to say it a third time. It's kind of like
just
that doorknob.
It's a technical march.
Yeah, it's kind of like that doorknob. You know, you got to touch it one more time, and okay, now, now I can go.
That's good.
No,
well, that's
really.
Good. I hope it continues to work for you, and that it doesn't make your whole program go down the Dwayne. I'm just going to keep. You like to repeat that? I just love just that is good.
Dude, you don't think I didn't grow up with what was it? Dwayne, I'm drowning in a bath. How did that thing go? Kids used to taunt me with that thing. Dwayne, I'm drowning in the bathtub. I'm going down to Dwayne.
All right, go ahead and
you know?
Discount
it.
I don't
know.
I thought it was good.
No, well, you know, the kids in grade school thought it was funny. So,
but they didn't come with down to Dwayne. They didn't get that far, did they?
I don't know. Maybe not.
All right. I'm
going
to leave it at that. Dwayne, now your name is forever. Now I can't even say your name without laughing, so now I'm crushed. No, you have a beautiful name, Dwayne.
Well, thank you. It means Sir Wayne. It is French, which,
okay.
You know, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It means the way. Take from that what you will. It's up to you.
Okay. That's very good. No, have a wonderful day. Thanks, everybody, for the interest in the questions. And the rest of the week should be pretty interesting as well, considering where the markets are. So
I look forward to it. All right.
Okay, thanks again, you guys.
Thank you, David. Have a good afternoon.
You got it. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. I got to go. Got to run. Got to return all these phone calls. Here's a mystery of the universe, and I'm sure you have your own variation of this mystery of the universe. My radio program starts in theory every day at the same time. I know, some days I'm a few minutes late, but notwithstanding, I'm pretty close, and I've been pretty close for, I don't know, like 6 years, so I don't know. That's not my point. My point is, as soon as I'm keying everything up, okay, the office phone will ring, my cell phone will ring, instant messenger on the iPad will light up, I'll get ding, 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 voicemails are coming in, emails, and it's like all these different people who many of them don't even know that I have this thing that I do every morning at a certain time, and certainly who don't all know each other, and certainly didn't, you know, hatch some plot to annoy me at a specific time when I'm trying to focus and concentrate and get all these different sliders and buttons and knobs twiddled and turned and stuff. It's just one of those kind of funny things. So whereas it used to really aggravate and fresh, and sometimes the fax machine will go off, which doesn't even work. And that, I used to find that to be incredibly frustrating and aggravating. And when I found out I couldn't stop it, I thought, you know, okay, rather than being aggravated by it, why not expect it, enjoy it, and laugh about it? And so I've been bringing that to the studio, bringing that to the trading desk. Okay, it's time to start the show, so let's watch all the phones go crazy and the emails and what, you know. Guess what doesn't happen so much anymore? Now, isn't that interesting? See, now they've all conspired to not do it. Now, how do you apply that to your life? You got some little weirdness going. I don't care how straight-laced you are. You got some little weirdness going on in your life, just like that, that you can't quite put your finger on. Now, it can aggravate and agitate the tar out of you, or you can just choose to look at it in a completely different way. Give you one more real-life example before I go. I was helping my wife clean the house on Saturday. Now, that's true. I really was, and I really do that kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys. With the vacuuming and stuff, you know that, you know, it's nice to help your wife out. Guys, if you don't help your wife, you don't vacuum. You either have a butler or you should be. So anyway, my reading glasses, I don't have to wear glasses to drive or walk around the house, but to read, I do. And I carry them in my shirt pocket, which really kind of makes me look like an old guy, but I don't care. But every time I would bend over to move something to vacuum, my glasses would fall out of my shirt pocket. And I found myself getting tense. I mean, you know, getting kind of uptight. Again? Well, I mean, I kept putting the same glasses back in the same shirt pocket, and so every time I'd bend over, the same gravity would kick in, and this, you know. So. But I also know that if I put my glasses somewhere else, like in my pants pocket, my bag pocket, I'm going to sit on them and break them, and then got to go buy more dollar store reading glasses. So I turned off the vacuum, and my wife goes, "What's wrong?" I go, "Nothing, honey. I'm having a contest with myself." She goes, "Oh, really? You are?" I go, yep. I'm seeing how many times my glasses can fall out of my pocket today. She goes, that's very interesting. So I vacuum for a while and I shut it off and she goes, what's wrong? I go, nothing. I'm winning. Now you think that's really silly, okay? Because it had to do with a man vacuuming his house on a Saturday and his glasses kept falling out of his pocket. But I'm telling you, I was aggravated, tense, on the verge of saying something sharp or ugly that I would have later regretted. Okay? Now, granted, I could have just took the glasses and laid them up somewhere else, but then I wouldn't have been able to change the playlist on my iPhone because I like to listen to stuff over the roar of the vacuum, right? So I needed my glasses. Yeah, and I know there's other things. You can get a little chain around your neck, but that's just creepy. So, by simply not allowing it to upset me, by turning it into something funny, something I could laugh at, something that, because I, you know, in my head, I get 2 points each time the glasses fall. Now I'm actually achieving an accomplishment. By the time I finished vacuuming, I had won the game. See? Now, I know that most people are going to go, wow, he really does need to have his medication adjusted. But I'm just, if you'll take that, if you'll laugh about that, see, that's not anything serious, make you think too deep. But the next time something starts to needle you, get under your skin, bug you, bother you, and you're on the verge of saying something you know you're going to regret, just look at the problem differently. Will you do that? Maybe it won't work for you, but maybe it will. Maybe it will. That's all I got. And why not ask Bert about the 6E drop? Well, what's to ask him? It dropped. And if he had a stop, there was a ton of contracts traded at that price. And if I didn't get filled anywhere on the way down, I'd probably be looking for a new broker. So, so your point is that a stop, yeah, okay. I'm not even going to have that discussion. Thanks for stopping by. All of you guys, have a great afternoon. Thanks so very much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.